What's up, everyone? I'm Will Talent.
And I'm Evan Harkin. We're two of your hosts for NFL Friday, WFUV Sports' exclusive NFL podcast.
From breaking down the weekly slate to fantasy football pickups, we've got you covered on all things around the NFL.
Stay tuned for our hosts' weekly picks as they compete against each other all season long.
Football is here, and so is NFL Friday.
Welcome back inside the Rose Hill Studios. NFL Friday, Week 10 upcoming. In fact, it already embarked last night with a thrilling game that we're going to unpack between the Ravens and Bengals. I'm Joe Henry, joined today by Evan Harkin, Chaz McAdams, and I think there's an order of business that I think we have to address first before we get into anything. And Chaz, I'm looking your way. We've got, as many of you know, a season-long NFL pick'em competition going on. Me and Evan are, you know, faring quite well,
first and second right now.
Plenty of good contenders, a lot of, very intelligent and well-researched individuals on this team. And then you scroll down a lot and you see at the very bottom, it's Chaz McAdams. 65-73, 471 win percentage.
Tanking.
Just have to ask, what's been going on?
We're going for draft picks next year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's the mentality of the ball club right now.
Okay.
Real.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much I can say. It's brutal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You miss a week after planning a formal, you know, for the
you're
people
kinda
you
you're kind of cooked if you miss a week
for
too.
The people you love at this station.
Yeah,
and then,
that's true.
You know what I mean? How do they repay you by ridiculing you in a group chat? So
well, by punishing you.
I mean, it is what it is. You know what I mean? But we'll bounce. Mm-hmm. We're just looking to win each week. You know what I mean?
That's what I've been
noticing. I don't know if we'll get out of last place, but each week we're looking to build some wins.
I mean, Owen Kelty is going to give you a chance. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with our opponent.
And, you know, I must say, I didn't even clock that. Yeah, you guys are the two roommates are dead in the ass.
He wasn't planning a formal, so at least you have an
excuse.
That's true,
yeah. I mean, this guy
got a leg up.
Busy.
What's this guy doing?
Me, Owen, and Chris Greenwood.
I know, he's not a busy guy. Ugh. But yeah, last 2 weeks you've been doing well. You tied for third in week 8, tied for second in week 9, trending upwards, could have a first place finish this week. And you didn't get started off on the right foot because what am I seeing here? You didn't make a pick for last night's game, and what a game it was.
I mean, sometimes you don't make the Thursday night pick.
Right.
I wasn't the only one.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened to us all, not me, but you know, most of us. It's unfortunate. There's still room to bounce back. I started 0-1, so we're kind of off on the same foot regardless. And let's unpack that game. Bengals come into Baltimore to face the Ravens. And one of those games that it feels like an instant classic. Just two elite offenses going back and forth in the fourth quarter. Ja'Marr Chase has a historic game, but it's not enough. Very controversial in many aspects, that two-point conversion try. Evan, I'll look to you first on this. What are your thoughts on that kind of new philosophy coaching-wise where you're down a touchdown, you score, you're down 1 point now, you could kick the extra point and go to overtime or go for two. Teams more and more are going for two, and we see it here backfire.
Like, why? I don't understand why. I didn't understand why when the Lions did it against the Cowboys last year. That made a little bit more sense. Like, you were on the road. I guess the Bengals were also on the road, but the Lions were a lot better last year than the Ravens are right now, or the Cowboys. But it's the same concept. Like, tie the game, send it into overtime. Say you get the ball. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have connected for more than 260 yards and 3 touchdowns in the game. You don't have faith in the offense to go score. You have to have a little bit of faith in your defense. I mean, and exactly what should have happened. The Ravens know, every defense knows, when you're going up against a two-point conversion, especially one that will make or break the game, commit penalties. What happens if a flag gets thrown? Oh, they get another yard. They get 1 yard closer to the end zone. You have a so much better chance to just play really aggressive. Don't be scared to hold receivers. Don't be scared to hit Joe Burrow in the face. Because even if the refs do see it, this is like the most high-intensity moment of the game. The refs aren't going to see little things. Joe Burrow said himself, I can't expect to get that call that late in the game. Mahomes can expect to get that call, but he's about the only one. Like, everybody got held because the Baltimore defense was told by their DC, play hard right now, hold receivers, commit penalties, do whatever you need to do. What are they going to move, an inch or two forward, a yard forward? So, I mean, that's the downside of going for it for two there.
Mm-hmm. The Bengals dropped to 4-6. The Ravens advanced to 7-3, both AFC North teams. You've got a division where three of those four teams are certainly playoff contenders. The Bengals are just about the best 4-6 team any of us have ever watched.
Yeah.
But the fact remains that they are 4-6, and they're 3 games out of first place in the division. They lost both games to that division leader in Baltimore. What is the outlook for them, Chaz? Do you think that they're able to get into the playoffs? Do you think they have a high enough ceiling with this high-powered, high-octane offense and this lackluster defense?
I mean, Bengals were a Super Bowl not favorite, but a lot of people's Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
Preseason, then you start the season off with that loss, and you're 4-6 now. And I don't really know if I trust in I don't know if I have a lot of trust in the Bengals. It's mostly Zach Taylor,
yeah,
who I don't really believe in, especially with that go for two decision. He doesn't really like to play winning football. I think he likes to have winning players. But I really just think that he is the Bengals are winning in spite of Zach Taylor, not because of him.
Yeah, I agree. And the Bengals play better when they play the Ravens. Like, this was one of the best Bengals games they've played. Mm-hmm. You don't have T. Higgins, which is big. Like,
Chase to do this without the guy being honed in on by the defense, it's incredible.
And he really was. They were putting safeties over top the whole time. He was just making them look silly. They were moving the defense to cover Ja'Marr Chase. It didn't matter. But, like, you can't expect Ja'Marr Chase to have 260 points, and you can't lose a game that he, or 260 yards and 3 touchdowns, and you can't lose a game that he does that well in if you want to make the playoffs, one, if you want to make the playoffs, two, with the Steelers and Ravens in your division. So I think with their division right now, I think they're cooked.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where a player offensively has an individual performance, Chase, 11 catches, 264 yards and 3 touchdowns, and you'd think that it should inspire and fuel the defense to say, we have to win because of him. You can't lose a game in which your player puts up numbers like that. It's just like in basketball. If you got a guy going up, you know, I remember when, Chaz, you remember this too, when Devin Booker put up 70 against the Celtics and the Suns lost. Like, that's inexcusable for Devin Booker's teammates. You've got to hold up your own when one guy is going off like that. But as it stands, the Bengals got an uphill battle. Certainly a talented team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But a team that's going to need to make up some ground if they want to end up contending this year. And moving forward now, looking ahead and actually crossing the Atlantic, if we want to get into this Week 10 slate of Sunday games, a Germany game here in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are technically the away team. The Panthers technically the home team. You got to feel bad for the people of Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel bad for Daniel Jones. This is going to be his best environment. I don't think people hate him in Germany. I'm not sure, but everyone hates him in New York. So whenever he's playing in New York, there's no fans in Carolina anyway, so it would be empty if it was in Carolina. If he was playing in New York, everyone would hate him. He's over in Germany, so now there's fans, and they don't hate you. Best atmosphere for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he had his best game because of the atmosphere and because the Panthers stink at everything. They're like one of the worst defenses by a lot, one of the worst offenses by a lot. And the Giants, you know, that D-line can get active. Jaden Daniels kind of broke how good their D-line could be because that's how good Jaden Daniels is at evading pressure. But the Giants, I'm not sure if they're still leading the league in sacks, but led the league in sacks for most of the season so far. Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns. Give me the G-men in a close one, though. I'm not going to give Daniel Jones a lot of credit. He's not going to blow out the Panthers here.
Yeah, it's kind of like both of these teams getting excommunicated for their sins on the field thus far this year.
Yeah.
Being sent over to Germany. But as it stands, we all have the Giants picked to win this game. Panthers are coming off of a win. The Giants off
Goodell
of a loss.
Is really testing the viability of the NFL in Germany with this game.
He's like,
why do you do that?
He's like, oh, you guys want football? Okay.
Yeah, you really value the investment.
Yeah. This is like an early 2017, like Thursday night, when Thursday night football used to be terrible.
Oh, yeah.
This is like that. Like,
yeah.
This is a really bad game.
Why
just
did
a
they
few
do
weeks
that?
Ago.
I mean,
I think they're like pushing the limits of what foreign fans will watch.
It's
like, how good is our sport?
Because the Giants were never supposed to be good this year, neither were the Panthers. When they made this game, they were like, oh, these are two bad teams.
Yeah.
They play really bad football. It's not fun to watch. Throw them in Germany.
Same thing can be said a few weeks ago. They did the same thing. I mean, Roger Goodell talks so much about how much the people of England and London embrace the sport and how expanding the sport overseas, specifically to England, has been so positive and will continue to be positive for the league. And then you schedule a game between the Jaguars and Patriots. and it went just about as expected.
Yeah.
So I like that point, Jazz, definitely testing the people of Germany and England's fandom. See how much you really want this sport over here. But nonetheless, I'm sure it's going to be a packed crowd. I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of Panthers jerseys. We've all got the Giants taking a win. A little bounce back game after that Commanders matchup. And another, but speaking of bounce back, the 49ers finally getting Christian McCaffrey back after a just a mediocre, middling, underperforming start of the season for this team. You get your best player back, your most dynamic player. You're paying a visit to the Bucs, a team that is riddled with injuries, but has still managed to play decent football nonetheless, just forced an overtime game against the Chiefs. We've all got the Niners here. Chaz, why do you think that the Ooh. Niners are going to pull away on the road against a Buccaneers team that has shown, despite the injuries, that it is competitive?
So hard. I love Baker Mayfield. Football guy, like textbook football guy. Mm-hmm. I love, this is kind of a gut feeling pick where I see the Niners and I didn't even know, is everyone really on the Niners? That makes me want to go to the Bucks so bad.
The Bucks play spoiler. If they do anything, they play spoiler, and it doesn't matter who's on the field.
I know.
They're one of those
and they're
teams.
definitely going to be a home dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about it. The books,
I'm going to go Bucks. I'm switching.
I like it. The books really like the Niners. I think it's like minus six. If
looking
I'm
at minus six and a half, right?
Away?
In Tampa.
In Tampa? The books Forget are loving it. The Niners, which makes me want to like the Niners because, I mean, they're usually right. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of hype surrounding the return of McCaffrey, also have to question, you know, with just how long that Achilles injury is.
True.
Injury
how many snaps is he getting, right? It can't be that many snaps.
Right. You'd have to imagine that he is not getting a full workload.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, the Bucs without Mike Evans, without Chris Godwin.
Sterling Shepard, Giants legend.
Yeah, who's Bucky Irving is questionable. Even Baker Mayfield is questionable at the moment. Sterling Shepard is questionable.
No.
Vita Vea is questionable. A lot of your biggest name players are questionable to play. And this is a Niners team also that really needs it. I guess both of these teams need it. I feel like the Buccaneers, given where they're at with the injuries, it's hard to see a path to the playoffs, even though they've managed all right. They're 4-5 right now. The Niners, though, they're 4-4, but they're in a conference or a division in the NFC West where every team is right around there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to see one team that is far and above the best team in that division. So, and given the expectations for this team, you'd have to imagine that a playoff trip is probable for them, and if that is to be the case, they've got to start winning now. Me and Evan got the Niners. Chaz swayed to move his pick to the Buccaneers.
If Baker plays.
If Baker, okay, I like the
Baker might
the
not play, too. Oh, gosh.
He's questionable right now.
Oh,
gosh.
Mm-hmm.
He'll play.
If Baker plays.
Baker will play.
So, yeah, speaking of the NFC South, moving forward to a Falcons-Saints matchup, a matchup between a team in the Falcons that started off slow and has really picked it up and shown you kind of more of what you expected given the personnel on this offense, and a team in the Saints that started out unbelievably and since then have been an absolute dumpster fire, just fired Dennis Allen. I think for me, at least, it's an easy pick. Falcons on the road. It seems like we've all got the Falcons in this one. Chaz, you wrote Falcons. You see that?
I'm switching it up.
Oh.
Ooh. Right,
I'm switching
just,
it up
just because everyone else has the Falcons.
Yeah, I can't.
I like that strategy. You got to get some. You got to gain ground.
I got to get an edge.
You got to get
wherever I can.
Full fire.
Last place will do that to you.
Yeah. Well, now that I look at it, Evan, you got Falcons.
Do I have
Falcons? You have it written Falcons.
I might have to change it now just because of that. But the Falcons, I mean, they should dominate this game. The Saints, no Olave, I don't think.
Really? I mean,
no Shaheed, no Olave.
Yeah.
Random receivers out there on the field. Mm-hmm. Kamara? I think Kamara's fine, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, hope
but,
so.
Like, what happened to the Saints? They not only were they really good to start this year, they had the most points per game or most total points
from
last
year.
Yeah,
they dropped like 40 back-to-back, right?
They scored on their first 15 possessions.
Oh, my gosh. And it went to last year, too. Like, at their end of last season was insane offensively, carried over. And then teams were just like, okay, we figured you out. I wonder what it is. Is it getting after Derek Carr? I don't know. I guess we'll see what the Falcons do. The Falcons
are the 8th ranked offense in the league. The Saints are the 28th ranked defense in total. So I think that tells you everything you need to know about who to go with on this game. The Falcons on the road expected to win, and they should against the Saints team that has been quite dysfunctional. And have you seen their cap space situation, by the way? You see cap projections. As a Patriots fan, I see cap projections because we have so much money because we have no players.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints have negative $80 million in cap space.
Who are they paying? Kamara, Derek Carr.
They did like a Dodgers, and they did a lot of like pushing back of contracts where they repurposed the contracts.
Yeah.
So like
back end money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
so they'd not be paying a lot of guys when they had that championship window with the end of Drew Brees' career, and now they are just in cap hell.
Now they're just destroyed.
It's beautiful. Have you also seen the Saints on Twitter? The Pope keeps using hashtag Saints, but it's like this New Orleans Saints hashtag, and it has their logo.
Throws the icon at the end.
Yeah, he's become this meme on Twitter, which I think is awesome.
Endorsing the Saints.
I wouldn't do that if I was him. I think if he knew how bad they were.
Some kind of Pope-like miracle.
Yeah, they are.
Need a blessing.
Moving forward, we've got another interesting matchup, a team that's got a lot of storylines surrounding them, and the Colts hosting the Bills. We've all got the Bills in this one. The Colts, it looks like, are going to
continue. You just skipped Broncos-Chiefs because you picked the Broncos.
Oh, I didn't even see that. We'll get back to it.
You picked the Broncos?
We'll get back to it.
He's the only one that picked the Broncos. I'm not letting you skip that.
No, no. Don't worry. I'm not ducking the smoke, all right? But Bills-Colts. Colts, again, choosing not to start Anthony Richardson. It's understandable given
we all picked the Bills.
Pulling yourself out of the game is pretty unheard of, unprecedented as a quarterback in the NFL. But obviously he's the more talented player. I mean, he's got a lot of concerns about red zone efficiency, turnovers, etc. But clearly the more dynamic.
He can throw the ball, though.
And yeah, he can throw.
He can hug the rock.
He's good for a 64-yard Alec Pierce touchdown a week and three interceptions. And Joe Flacco's good for not the first part, but probably the second part, which is an issue. I think it creates a lot of division where you have a guy who's clearly better, who's being forced to ride the bench, but also who kind of deserves it because he has performed so poorly himself and also took himself out of a game. It's a very hard to manage situation for a Colts team that I think people overlook how talented this team is. It's a pretty solid O-line, a good receiving core, pretty good in young defense. This is a team that, if they had the right guy under center, could be a contender in the AFC South, where obviously the Texans are a great team, but otherwise the Titans and Jaguars, I mean, you should be better than those two teams. So they've got a chance to pull off a big one that maybe changed the story of their season a little bit, hosting the Bills. But we've all got the Bills as a team that went out at the deadline and got Amari Cooper to bolster the receiving core. Josh Allen has had a tremendous year, even though I think he just finally threw an interception. He had gone 8 weeks, I think, without a single interception. It had been prolific for them. But nonetheless, I think they're obviously the better team going into it, the team that, you know, doesn't have that drama surrounding them. And we've all got them going here. So we'll look back at this AFC West game, Broncos at Chiefs. For me, as the only person who picked the Broncos, I'm not a Broncos guy. I typically pick against them. They're 5-4 this year. I don't think they're as good as a 5-4 team. They're a pretty good defense.
Really good.
But the offense is much the opposite.
Defense
is ranked
sixth.
Oh, hold on. The defense is ranked sixth in the league, right? The pass defense is ranked sixth in the league. You're going against a pass-heavy attack in the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. This is a Chiefs team that is undefeated, but is probably like among the worst undefeated teams I've ever seen. And it's not because they're not Super Bowl contenders, but they barely win every single week. I think it's about time that a team is able to topple them, and I'm picking the Broncos to do it. It's a divisional matchup. These are the kind of games where, you know, during the Patriots dynasty, it was always that divisional matchup against an inferior team where you had got handed a surprise loss. That's why I'm going with them. I think the Chiefs are the better team. I think they have a better chance at winning this game, but that's my dog of the week is the Broncos.
Terrible pick.
What a dog water pick.
It says the guy who just put E before I. Have you not learned? I before E except after C.
I don't know. I'm in last place, Joe.
Come on, man.
Massachusetts. I don't have time for grammar.
Massachusetts.
I could see the trap game happening. Like I was looking at.
There is going to be a trap. This is not the trap game.
I thought it was the Raiders. Like when the Chiefs play the Raiders.
Of course, because it's, you know,
Chiefs Raiders.
O'Connell was
Crosby,
back.
Yeah, Crosby hates Mahomes. They don't like each other. They always have those close games. But to your point that the Chiefs only win close games, they've been doing that since Mahomes has gotten in the league.
They haven't blown out inferior teams this year at all.
No, I don't think it's just this year, though. I think that's just how Patrick Mahomes
operate. In past years, they've been able to blow out teams, and this year they haven't done it.
Were they blowing out teams, though?
Absolutely.
They were always coming back against the worst team. Mahomes has bad stats throughout first and third quarters right now, and he's the best in the fourth quarter out of any quarterback. I don't know. But I think if it was in Denver, I would think of it way more as a trap game.
I think it being that.
In Arrowhead, easily one, like a top three place you want to play in if you're a home team at Arrowhead. I think their Broncos defense is very serious.
Yeah,
so.
I can't see this Chiefs team staying undefeated for much longer the way that they've played.
See
that. It's
Will
hard
they play
to
next week.
Let's see. I'm not sure.
The Chiefs defense is good still too. I mean, they're not as good as they were last year. I think Trent McDuffie took a little step down. I think he's been injured a little bit. So they used to have like lockdown. They would lock down the pass and then they'd pass over you. They don't lock down the pass now. Yeah. The Broncos actually run a crazy defense because Surtain is so good. He follows the number one receiver. Press man covers him as if you're like Darrell Revis in 09, and they just send everybody else at the quarterback. they have the most
I love that,
man blitz rate in the NFL, and it only works because Pat Surtain
that's
is that
the
good.
Hallmark of a great secondary. Yeah. That's what the Patriots did in 2018 when they had Stephon Gilmore. They ran man coverage every single play and ran a zero blitz, and it was
send everyone. It was awesome.
One of the best defenses I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, now we're terrible.
Way
back when.
But yeah, so the Chiefs actually the week after this they are facing the Bills. So that's a game that
the trap game is at Browns.
But they always go on December 15th. Because they always beat the Bills. Yeah. You know, like
that's true.
Well, that's not a trap. That's just like a prime
time. It's just a good game. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean it's the Chiefs, like Joe. Like you're on Galaxy. Yes.
I'm happy you picked the Broncos as somebody two games behind.
Sometimes you just need to add. Okay. Sometimes you just need to add a little spice. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're making it interesting.
As someone, as the guy in first place, when you
but you look like a fool
when you go chalk
coming from last place.
When you just pick the favorite every time, people who are behind you are gonna say like, "Really, man? You're just phoning it in, like cruising to the finish line here with these." You know, I gotta spice it up. I gotta, prove my worth. And like last week, I picked the Panthers. Panthers won, right?
They did.
So, and I just think that's I get some more respect, some more props for that, right?
Panthers.
Me and
the
you
Saints.
Were the only one to pick the Panthers.
Yeah, we're just on that wavelength.
I mean, the Panthers and the Saints are a lot closer, I think, than the Chiefs.
No,
the
but you know, it says the guy who picked the Saints. Okay,
I got you.
Another good game here: Steelers at Commanders. The Steelers team that I struggle with. I have a Steelers fan friend who's insufferable, so it makes me always pick against them. I've done that here, picked the Commanders, but that's for good reason. This is a team that is, I believe it's 7-2. They just went on and bought at the trade deadline, got Marshawn Lattimore. This is a team that really had a lackluster secondary. I think Emmanuel Forbes was rated 199th out of 205 at the cornerback position for PFF.
Cooked.
So getting that help and a guy who's a veteran and who's been doing it at a high level for a long time is huge for them. Jaden Daniels is been elite,
stud.
Flat out, and I don't see why that wouldn't continue here. It's going to be fun because this is such a dynamic offense going up against a stalwart of a defense in the Steelers that has single-handedly willed that team to the record that it has. But I see the buck stopping here for the Steelers. Their schedule is about to get a lot harder. Still have all their division games left. That's two games against the Bengals, two games against the Ravens. I see them losing probably three out of those four games. I see them losing here tonight. I still think that they're a wild card team, but I do not think with the way this offense is that this is a team that is destined for like a deep postseason run or a divisional title.
The Steelers? Or the
Steelers.
The Steelers. I think the Steelers are looked better with Russell Wilson, right? I think we can agree when Russell Wilson played, the offense looked a little bit better. The defense is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Steelers are going to win this game. I think they're a better team than the Commanders because of mainly T.J. Watt. He's the best defensive player I've watched since his brother J.J. Watt, maybe like Khalil Mack in there. But he destroys offenses. I think their D-line will get to Jaden Daniels, and I think their players behind their D-line, unlike the Giants, are a lot better and will trap him and not allow him to run all over them. I also think the Commanders have played a lot of bad teams. I'm a Giants fan.
You don't think they're real?
No, I think they're real. I don't think they're 7-2. They beat the Giants twice.
Yeah.
They beat the Panthers once, the Giants twice. The T. Higgins-less Bengals, the Bears.
Bears.
And the good wins are the Cardinals. They lost to the Ravens. They beat the Cardinals and
beat the Browns.
The Bucks.
Yeah, but like the Steelers are on par with those teams. I put the Steelers, the Bucks, and maybe the Cardinals if on a good day.
The Cardinals are good.
In that same
I think the Cardinals are good. Yeah. I think the Steelers are definitely better than the current Bucks. Yeah. The Bucks that they played, I think, are close with the Steelers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the injured Bucks. No one's playing.
Yeah.
But
you're right. They played the good. They also lost to the Bucks.
I think the Commanders are going to win as well. Jaden Daniels is cracked.
Yes.
That, I don't think, I haven't been able to communicate this on air. I don't think that game winner was, like, all that good on his part. I think that was all, like, receiver room, knowing where to be, because that's the tip drill.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do. You get one man back.
Yeah, one man
like
goes
you,
behind.
I mean, but that's a 50-50 ball.
Yeah, that's true.
Easily enough, that's like, you have to be able to chuck that, but, like, that's literally, like, that's a tip drill. Like, that's all it was.
It wasn't supposed to happen. He did a good job of the Aaron Rodgers get out of the pocket.
Yeah, no.
He did a really good job at that.
He evaded sacks.
Yes.
Like a madman. Great blocking from his line. They were in the right spots, but I know that this play is pretty old. 2 weeks now or 1 week? It was last week.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah. But that wasn't a
all
jaded...
their fans are like, we got a quarterback like after that. It's
no,
like,
which I think
you
they
already
do.
Had a quarterback.
I think they do. Yeah. But that was not a I wouldn't consider that a Jane Daniels game winner.
No.
That's a Washington Commanders team effort, which is honestly, if you're a Commanders fan, that's like even more impressive is that the team as a whole is improving because more than the players, the organization is just terrible top to bottom.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Dan Snyder. what a terrible guy he is. But, yeah, we got to get you out of here soon, Ev. We got to start burning through these picks. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I have the Commanders.
And one to burn through would be Vikings at Jaguars.
It's the Vikings.
Mac Jones getting the start for the Jaguars.
Mac Jones
versus, I didn't know that.
Sam Darnold is in the year of our Lord 2024. And it's not a division game between the Jets and the Pats.
And Sam Darnold's a lot better.
So much better.
It's crazy.
God, Mac Jones is such a bad quarterback.
I mean, the Vikings are the obvious choice here, but just don't be surprised if Mac Jones pulls some magic, some wizardry.
No way
I will be surprised.
I'm not, but, like, Joe. I'm just saying, like...
We went through, like, abuse for years.
I'm still going through it.
No, Drake May's really good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really absolutely. But the team... as a in the composite is not
like Drake May might be like the third best quarterback of all time.
It's up
at
there.
The end of his career.
Some are saying
Brady Mahomes, Drake May,
Brady, Mac Jones.
Whoa,
Bailey Zappi.
Speaking of Drake May, Patriots.
Cam Newton didn't get COVID. Patriots would have won the division that year.
True,
in 2020. True story.
Speaking of Patriots, visiting the Bears this week. I've got the Patriots. Chaz, you've got the Patriots. I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
And Evan, you've got the Bears.
That's not even like a fan pick.
Really? It's a fan pick for me.
No, like, the Bears are not that good.
They have, I think they're being overrated.
Since the start of the season. Like,
for sure.
Yeah.
All of their wins are like,
have not been pretty.
No.
There was like one.
It's like, it's always bear down. I don't know. I trust the Patriots.
Actually one of the craziest statements.
In this game.
Oh, okay. I think Drake looks really exciting. Yeah, absolutely.
I might change my pick. I'm looking who the Bears beat. The Titans.
It's not pretty.
They lost to the Colts.
To be fair, we lost to the Titans.
They beat the Jaguars, Panthers.
We lost to the
we shouldn't
Jaguars.
Have lost to the, I mean, we like, shouldn't have lost to the Titans.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, the Patriots, I mean, we find a way to compete with other bad teams, but just not finish it off, and that's what's concerning and why I would always lean towards the other team in this situation, which would be the Bears here. But being a Patriots fan, it kind of gives me that edge to take them. And Drake May is, like, truly, I think he is, like, the franchise guy, I think, if you haven't seen him play yet. This is a legit quarterback who's going to be at the helm for years.
Travis Hunter number one overall.
No, do not draft
trade
Travis
Hunter. Trade down.
Yeah, just a receiver and an offensive lineman away from having this Patriots offense for the
Travis
first time.
Travis Hunter's going to play cornerback. He will not. I know I keep getting off topic and you have to leave, but I don't know how many times I'm going to get on NFL Friday because of how bad I am. So Travis Hunter will never play both sides of the ball in the National Football League.
He might play like spotty. Never. Like if it's third down, he might go in.
They might slot him in, but there will never be a game where he's lit. If that happens, by that time, I will re-dye my hair blonde and get Travis Hunter's NIL logo dyed into my hair.
Save the clip.
That's a claim I'll make. Because
save it.
I can't believe he is away, like a few games away from starting his draft process and still dying on that hill that he's going to play both sides.
Like, I think that most it's on third down, you'll go play receiver.
He might not survive the combine.
You're right. I don't know about the combine, but I mean, like, he'll get injured by week 8 if he's playing both sides of the ball in the NFL easily. I know he says he doesn't get tired. You play in college football.
I wonder if Deion told him to say that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I think I mostly agree with you. I think it would be a lot of fun to watch. I remember when Edelman came into the league and he played both sides for a little bit, but he played it, you know, he was a,
that was
you know,
crazy.
The fourth or fifth string guy on both sides.
He was also like a quarterback.
It's not like,
Edelman's a psycho.
Was he, he a lacrosse player? Was that a different?
That's Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
Who left the NFL to go play lacrosse, which is just a power move.
And Belichick used to go to all his games because Belichick's a huge lacrosse guy.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know, Wells is a huge lacrosse guy. Ergo.
I can see that.
Massive. He played at Fairfield.
I can see that.
How about that?
And Trey Trey Rodriguez. Yeah, I mean, Patriots. Patriots are going to win this game.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it with that much authority, but I do have the Patriots. Evan somehow
another
the lone
sweep,
wolf
the next game
with the
too.
Bears. And yeah, another sweep here, and it's kind of an easy one. Titans at Chargers. Titans team.
Is it that easy, though?
It's, you know.
Like, the Titans are that bad. They
I
might,
think
no,
the
Titans
are
the,
bad.
Like,
the Chargers aren't good.
The Chargers, like.
No.
The Chargers are a late-stage Jenga tower of shaky, dude.
Like, that's a perfect way to
there
describe
is,
the Chargers.
They, like there is perfect. No confidence.
No.
In the Chargers
no
at all.
No backbone.
I think the Patriots could beat the Chargers.
Yeah.
Anyone could beat the Chargers.
Anyone could beat the Chargers. The Panthers could wash the Chargers in a random
game. But the Chargers could also beat, like,
the Chiefs.
The Bengals.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to me how unstable that team is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone with more 15 to 15 boomer busts.
Yeah, it's insane.
They're so big.
It's insane.
Yeah, I think they get a little overrated offensively. Obviously, there's some hype with Dobbins coming back, and he's played really well. Yeah. Herbert's one
How
of those guys who I think is very talented, but right now does not have the weapons.
Oh,
but you
God.
Still kind of think of the Chargers offense as a good unit, but
yeah.
They lost all of their weapons last year.
Did they make the O-line better?
I know how they're 5-3 because they beat the Browns, the Saints, the Broncos, the Panthers, and the Raiders.
There you go.
And they've lost to the Steelers, the Chiefs, and the Cardinals.
Yeah,
every good team.
Yeah.
But they are playing the Titans, so that's another
exactly.
one of those
so
bad teams
bad team.
That they should beat. One thing that gets overlooked about the Chargers is a team that for the past several years has had so many great players defensively, and it's never put it together as a unit. It's always underperformed
True,
defensively,
right?
But they're actually a top 10 defense this year.
Finally.
So that's why I think the Chargers, like,
they didn't even get that when they had Khalil Mack.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
they,
what's crazy.
They had Derwin James,
had
Joey Bosa.
So many tremendous players.
Asante Samuel Jr., yeah. So many good players.
It's pretty. Kyle Van Noy, if we want to. Yeah, great player, Kyle Van Noy.
Patriots legend.
Right, that's true. Yeah, a team that I'm not. You're never trusting against a good team, but a team that you can expect to beat a team as bad as the Titans.
Like, a Chargers stat is how when they were still last season with Phillip Rivers, they were the number one scoring offense mm-hmm. and number one scoring defense. Where they, like, best offensive stats, best defensive stats yep. in the league, didn't make the playoffs.
Missed the playoffs. Classic.
That's
a classic.
So Chargers.
It's very Chargers. Another team that is a bit laughable is the Cowboys. They're hosting the Eagles this week. The Eagles have obviously had that horrific stretch to end the year last year and begin the year this year, but I think with their receivers getting healthy, they're starting to piece it together more. Paying a visit to a Cooper Rush-led Cowboys team that looks very dysfunctional right now with Dak Ooh. Prescott out. We've all got the Eagles here. I don't think there's too much more to say about that. The Cowboys have not been inspiring at all.
Play Trey Lance. Why wouldn't they play Trey Lance?
Yeah,
give
at
a
least that's
shot.
A guy who has
you
a
know
ceiling.
Cooper Rush is going to be bad,
He's
and
Cooper Rush,
all you're asking him to do is not lose the game. Like, Trey Lance can do a little something. FCS legend.
Yeah, see if, you know, even though you have your guy in Dak Prescott, probably.
Yeah.
At least maybe if he could play his way into having some trade value in the offseason. I don't see why
maybe
you don't take the
Dak.
Guy with the hire. I mean, no.
They extended him recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why. That's why I thought you just said.
No. Like Trey Lance. If they start him for, you know, the next several weeks and he
plays
really well.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You
well,
can use him as trade.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I was confused.
So that's
like,
that's
what
I'm at. And I wouldn't be shocked if they look his way if Cooper Rush ends up struggling.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eagles should win that game handily. They're a team that's healthy now and is kind of back to firing on all cylinders how we were used to the past couple of years. Jets at Cardinals. This is a tough one. Cardinals team that has really surpassed expectations, and the opposite can be said for the Jets, who did just get a nice win against the Texans, a really talented team in the Texans. But we've all got the cards here. They're home. Defense has surpassed expectation. The offense is a really balanced attack. Kyler Murray, I think, tends to get underrated these days, and understandably so with the injuries. And how overrated and overhyped he was at the beginning of his career. But it's a Cardinals team that's been pretty good, and we've all got them to win here. I'm not sure what you guys think in terms of the Jets' chances, because I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking that this is another winnable game for the Jets after that win last night or last week against the Texans.
False hope.
Yeah, no, I think you're right that the Texans have good players. The Texans are not a good team right now by any means. They have the second worst sack rate in the league and the worst pressure rate in the league right now. So they are the worst team at protecting their quarterback, who's really good, that got hurt at the end of last game, had to limp off with players around him in their last drive. So he's questionable right now. They can't protect him for anything. And the Jets squeezed by and won that game by a touchdown when they had the best half of football they've ever had. Garrett Wilson caught two balls with his index finger and his thumb, and they were both touchdowns, and he's not going to do that again. That's not a sustainable formula to win games. The Cardinals have the most sustainable formula to win games, run the ball and play good D. So give me Arizona.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I think that there's not too much more to be said there.
Cardinals all day.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals a lot this year. I think it's a team that people are overlooking.
And Kyler's going off.
The Jets is just not a team that you can trust right now with the way their season has panned out. It's hard to see them building momentum. But if this is a game they win, then, you know, it really changes the script of the season. So it is a game with a lot of implications for the Jets, but still one where you can't really trust them yet.
Yeah.
And a team that you can trust is the Lions. Playing against the Texans, a team that usually you can trust, but then obviously had that disappointing outing Thursday Night Football last week against the Jets. The Lions, though, have just cruised through every game. We've got a sweep here. Lions visiting Houston at Energy Stadium.
Sweep.
And still,
the Lions are so
good. They're so fun
to
watch.
Everything. Well.
They're so good at everything. They just added a pass rusher. Was it Za'Darius Smith, I think?
Yeah.
to fill in the only hole that they had with Aiden Hutchinson getting injured. Just a really fun team to watch, and a team that this is my Super Bowl team. This is the team I have winning
it all. What's like cool about their offense is they run the most like disguised blocking scheme of an NFL history, mm-hmm. where you're not blocking the guy in front of you.
Yeah.
Because they're so mobile as an offensive line. Frank Ragnow, the center, and Pianni Sewell's the best offensive tackle in the league.
Yeah.
Offensive player in the league, maybe. They just run around and block like random D linemen to their left, to their right, linebacker, safeties. They're never blocking who the defense thinks, and it causes crazy holes for their running backs with amazing vision. And it's just, they just ball out.
Yeah, and you got the Holy Spirit and Jahmyr Gibbs.
True. So all that being said, the Lions, I mean, yeah, Super Bowl team. But when I close my eyes, and it's Monday night or Sunday night at like midnight, I can imagine the SportsCenter graphic, the Texans just beat the Lions.
It's a good reason.
Who's on the graphic? Is Stroud on the graphic?
Yeah, it was on the graphic.
Yeah, like Stroud in like a cowboy hat photoshopped over his Guardian cap.
Okay.
like standing over a corpse of a lion. I like the Lions way too much.
Yeah.
And the Texans have been playing such bad football.
It's true. They're a good team.
But, like, they are a good team.
Yeah, they've got a lot of good players.
And, like, this feels like a rise to the occasion game. So, I think me and Eli Keel are the only Texans.
There's two people on the Texans? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they are hosting, and this is a good team looking to bounce back after a rough
and
outing.
It's in Houston.
Could happen.
Yeah, it's a winnable game, but I think I've picked the Lions to win every single game this year. That's how much I like them. And speaking of how much I like them, the Rams have been so impressive getting Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua back, and I actually went back and forth on this game because the Dolphins, they have struggled to put it together since Tua came back. Just hard when you have a unit that loses their centerpiece in Tua and then has to try and build it back together in the middle of the season. Team that had pretty high expectations and has not met them. They're 2-6 right now. You want to say that one of these weeks they're going to put it together because this is an offense that has a chance to be so dynamic. But the Rams have performed so well and they're getting healthier. They got two pieces on the O-line coming back this week. It's hard not to pick them the way they've been playing of late.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Stafford will just randomly throw for 4 touchdowns and 300 yards in any game. I feel like he's been doing it as of late even more, like you said, heating up. I don't know who I picked in this game, but I think I'm going to switch it to the Rams.
You've got the Rams.
I do have the Rams, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're just one of those teams. They win in the fourth quarter. I don't think the Dolphins win in the fourth quarter. They win when they score a bunch in the first half.
Yeah.
How bad is the AFC besides the Bills?
Oh,
yeah.
Incredible.
It's Rams.
Gross.
Rams all the way.
Yeah, the Rams are one of those teams that Matthew Stafford is just one of these players where no matter how bad the team is, you never want to play him because it's a team that could beat anyone on any given Sunday, even if they're the worst team. And I think they are the better team than the Dolphins, especially the way things have panned out this year. But this is a team that, you know, if you're an NFC contender and you've got to play the Rams late in the season, that's not a matchup you're looking forward to. This is a team that if they're able to push towards the playoffs in a crowded NFC West is going to give teams some nightmares before Sunday night whenever they play.
Named after the Fordham Rams.
For real.
Shout out.
Shout out.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
It's true.
Wow.
Look it up.
Yeah. No, I'll have to do my research. Until then, though, I think we're going to sign off now. We've got a busy weekend ahead, all of us, both in the football world and beyond. Chaz going to a Knicks game now. We've got some basketball games, Fordham men's and women's. If you're in the area, feel free to pop out.
90.7. To all you listen to this podcast, 9.7 WFUV Sports.
Tune in.
Evan's got a Bucknell football game, so he'll be on the gridiron, but over in the college world. And Sunday, another a great slate of games. We talked about it here, some blowouts, some teams that have really struggled, and some really enticing matchups and some ones that are going to be great to watch. So we're going to sign off now. I've been Joe Henry, joined by Evan Harkin and Chaz McAdams. Got Trey Rodriguez behind the boards. Week 10 of NFL Friday in the books. This has been a production of WFUV Sports.